Had you heard this story before? The one I shared with the kids? It was, I found this book when I was a boy. I don't remember exactly when. It was first or second grade probably when I would go with my class to the school library. And that's when I discovered it. I can still picture that old library and the books that were piled there or displayed there. And it was on the shelf, or like it was one that was kind of set up. And I remember getting it down, and I don't remember specifically the very first time I got this book, but partly because there were so many times. I went back. Almost every time we went down to the school library, I would check out Where the Wild Things Are if it was available. And I would check it out, and I would take it home, and I would read it. And like I said to the kids, I would read it to myself, and during the wild rumpus, I would, you know, I would sing. I would start my own little human beatbox before that was even a real thing. And I was, you know, I'd be playing the drums in my head, and I was dancing with them, right along with them. This was my book, man. This was my story. The movie came out a couple years ago, and I wasn't real excited about the fact that somebody was taking my story and changing it. Because it was mine. Maury Sendak wrote it, and he put it out there, and then I took it, and it became mine. It's one of those things. It's funny how art, how that happens with art. Maurice Sendak died earlier this week, and I was sad when I heard that, although not that sad, because I never really had a connection to Sendak necessarily. To me, the connection was Max. I was Max. Heck, I still am Max. And I have a sneaky feeling I'm not the only Max here. I'm not the only one that one time or another wanted to put on a wolf suit and make mischief of one kind and another. I have a sneaky feeling I'm not the only one that sat in my room at some point in my life and wished that my ceiling would hang with vines and my walls would become the world all around. I am Max. And there were days when I was a boy when I was in trouble. When I had forgotten homework or had put something off too long. When I had forgotten to do one of my chores. I remember I had to pick up the apples at my house. We had an old apple tree. And one of my jobs was to pick up the dead apples on the ground. And I hated that job. It was the worst. I had to crouch down. It was always hot. There were always bees in them. And I was scared of bees, so I would pick them up like this, and then there was always one you'd pick up, and there'd be like six of them in the apple, and I'd throw it and scream and run away, and then have to come back, and it was awful. And you know what? You know what really gets me about that is now my mom and dad have that same old apple tree. My nephews pick up those apples, and they get paid a quarter an apple. That makes me mad. Yeah, I'd do it now for a quarter an apple. I'd be happy to get down there and do it now, but man. But I forget to do it sometimes, or, you know, forget to do it sometimes. And then I'd be in trouble. Because I'd be playing my computer game or playing wiffle ball in the backyard instead. And the apples weren't picked up. You know, I was in trouble a lot as a kid. Nothing. And here's the thing. Someone said to me after the first service, man, you must have been a bad little boy. And I really wasn't. It was just a lot of little things. It wasn't any big things. It was things like picking up apples or losing homework or forgetting to do a report. That was a little bigger than others, but I knew that it was always something. There was always something I forgot. It was a watch that I had. I remember my mom got me one time a calculator watch, an Armatron calculator watch, some of the kids in my school had them, and I'd say the cool kids. I don't know if you can say the cool kids had calculator watches or not, but in my class they were, and I lost that watch, and she got me another one. You know, that's the thing about this story, because I was Max, and I was the one that was constantly in trouble, it seemed like. But I was also the one with a mom and a dad who would always have supper ready for me. Are there any Maxes in the house this morning? You know, I still am Max. I still mess up. I'm still too quick to anger sometimes. I still forget to do things that I should have done. I still worry about what I might be getting in trouble for the next day. But not quite as much as I used to. I still fall short of the design God has for me. The plan God has for me. I know I fall short of it sometimes. I fail to love my neighbor as myself. I fail to feed the hungry and heal the sick. I commit sins all the time of commission and omission. I'm still mad. Do we have a few Maxes in the house here this morning? I love this story. It's a part of me. It's deep in my heart. And we actually don't own it. Partly because I think I want my daughter someday to go to the library and find it. And I read it to her, and we check it out every once in a while still, and I'll read it to her. But I think there's a part of me that still wants her to yearn for it at the library like I did as a kid. It's a part of who I am. It's a part of my story of grace. And it's taken on a lot more meaning to me as an adult, someone who's lived through my fair share of wild rumpuses. Someone who's gone off on his own. I had my time when I went off, when I was mad and I was angry with God and I said, I'm going to go do it by myself. I had my time when I thought I knew more than my mom and dad and I said, I'm going to go off and do it by myself. I had my time when I searched for things at fraternity houses and old buildings near the campus of Illinois Wesleyan, searching for things that I thought would be fun, that I thought would give me meaning, that thought would give some kind of joy. I remember I had my fair share. I've howled at the moon. I've hung from the trees. And I have a sneaky suspicion I'm not the only one. Do we have some Maxes in the house here this morning? And at some point, like Max, I realized that that wild rumpus wasn't what I was looking for. That the meaning that I was looking for wasn't in the beer or the girls or the parties. It was in the place where someone loved me best. At home, at church, with a wife. But we're reminded this morning that sometimes we pursue things that we shouldn't be pursuing. Sometimes we go off and wish that we can get in a private boat and sail off almost over a year and find where the wild things are. Some of us have done that before and have come home. Some of you might be kind of in the midst of it right now, but are just kind of stopping by here for a visit. Some of you might know somebody that's in the midst of their wild rumpus. And it hurts, doesn't it? If you know somebody that's out there chasing dreams and chasing, not dreams, but chasing pipe dreams and chasing the wrong things. Because we know, we've been there, we understand that out in the world there are some wild things, and they have a terrible roar, and they have terrible teeth, and they have terrible claws, and they cut, and they hurt. There is pain in this world, and sometimes when you're searching for something, you find all the wrong things. And it's scary when someone you love is out there. When someone you love is searching for something and you know where they could find it, but you can't show them the way yourself. It's a terrible thing to know that someone you love, someone that you've cared for, is destroying themselves in a toxic relationship or with bad friends or with pursuits that just are draining, even if they look good on the surface. A job that sucks your soul. It can be hard. Those wild rumpuses, they can be fun. But it doesn't take long before you're left hungry and lonely. And so we shared a couple stories of Jesus, too. A couple of Jesus' little parables. And I think these parables, the story of the lost coin and of the lost sheep, the part that's almost the most important part of these two stories, as wonderful as they are about this idea of God going out to look for people, the woman that would go look for the sheep, or the shepherd that would go look for the sheep, the woman that would go look for the coin, is how they start. The context of the story. Where is Jesus? He's with the sinners and the tax collectors. He's right there with the wild things. He's right in the midst of the trouble. He's in the midst of the dirt and the oppression. He's in the midst of the injustice and the pain. He's in the midst of those that are searching for things that are empty. He's right there with the wild things. And he sees their terrible claws and he sees their terrible teeth and he says, I love you. And let me tell you a story. And see, there's people that are there too. They're watching from afar and they're the people with their act all together. They're the people in their Sunday best. They're the religious leaders and the lawyers, the people with the good jobs and their story straight and the good resumes. And they're looking at Jesus saying, what are you doing with those guys? You're in the wrong place. Jesus is right where he belonged. Reminding everybody, reminding us here today, that God is the kind of shepherd that if he had 100 sheep and one was lost, he would go out searching. And when he found that sheep, he would rejoice. God is that woman that if she had 10 coins and lost one, would tear the place up and down looking for that coin. Looking high and low, and if she found it, she would rejoice. This is the God that we worship. This is the God that has our supper ready for us. This is the God of mercy, of grace, of joy, of love. This is the God of Jesus. Do we have some sheep, some lost coins, a max or two among us? A couple people that might be in need of a God that's willing to do anything, a God that's willing to lay down his life, a God that's willing to love you with so much of everything that he is, so much he's willing to go to a cross, so much he's willing to be beaten and bruised, so much he's willing to conquer death for you. This is the God that created you. This is the God that loves you now. And there's times when we run. We've all done it. There's times when we ignore. There's times when we're angry. There's times when we have good reason to be angry. But God's love is always there. And we can get in our private boat and sail off in and out of nights through a week and over a year. And we can find where the wild things are. We can be crowned king of all the wild things. But in the end, all of that is empty. All of that is nothing. All of that is but shifting sand. Because it's the rock, the Redeemer, that remains. And sometime, someday, we know there's someone that loves me best of all. And there's people out there. You might be sitting here and thinking, I'm home and I love it. It's so good to be here with my friends. It's so good to be here with the warmth of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of Christian saints. It is a good and joyful thing to be here in the loving arms of God, and I'm on the right path, and I'm in the right place, and it is good, but that's not enough. Because God goes out and searches for the lost, and there are people out there, and there might be people in here. You might not even know it. Sometimes you have no idea who's lost and who's found. But there are people in the world, there are neighbors, there are friends, there are strangers, there's coworkers, there's people at your school, at your workplace, wherever you may go, that are in need of that rock, that are in need, that are hungry and lonely, that are in need of their supper. And it's your job, it's our duty as Christians, as those that have been called up by God, that have been raised up by God, that have been given the grace of Jesus Christ, to tell them with everything you've got, your supper's waiting for you. Your supper's waiting for you. You don't have to go on your wild rumpus anymore. You don't have to go out. You don't have to go out searching for those lost things, because God will find you if you just let God be God. No matter where you are on this path, this thing we call discipleship, this thing we call following Jesus, wherever you are, whether you've strayed, whether you're on the straight and narrow, whether you've got someone you love that's hurting, or if there's strangers out there that you haven't reached, know that no matter where, that God loves you. No matter where you go, no matter how far you stray, you can always come back. You can always take off that wolf suit and go where someone loves you best of all. And I promise you, your supper will be waiting for you. And more than this, it'll still be hot.